sixth time I've done it. And when I decided to do this, I said, David, why don't you write a song for when I come back? He wrote two. So let's listen to the first one. And this is called Obedience by Meditation. So you can close your eyes and come to the silence. Underneath the noise, underneath the bustle, there's a silence. If you listen, you can almost hear it. Underneath the rush, underneath the hustle, there's a quiet where it's safe, and there's no need to fear it. There you might find joy. There are few pain. Memories and dreams may visit from your youth. But if you can be still, your search won't be in vain. For deep inside the silence, you will know the truth. God is in the silence. God is in your heart. God is ever present. If you're looking for God, the silence is a good place to start. Life's not what we have. Life's not what we do. Life's not what the outside world is seeing. Life goes on inside, and there we cannot hide from the fact that we are each a human being. In the silence, we are free from physicality, and we can always make the choice to go there. And in this world, we there's no more heroes born. There's just one single truth we get to know there. God is in the silence. God is in your heart. God is ever present. If you're looking for God, the silence is a good place to start. So quiet your mind, settle in, make the choice, be still, and you will find in the silence you can hear that still small voice. God is in the silence. God is in your heart. God is ever present. If you're looking for God, the silence is a good place to start. The silence is a good place to start. The silence.
whatever has been revealed today. We say thank you and amen.
Until 1 in the year back into meditation. And then 2:30 is back to events, and then at 5 o'clock you have tea. New students may have a piece of fruit with that tea, but I'm just sitting there with my tea, but no fruit. And then 6 o'clock, back in for an hour, and then there's a discourse every night by a man named Goenka. Goenka's first name. Mr. Goenka is from India. He's no longer with us, but the discourse is on video. And he's a little like Jackie Mason. So at least it's fun, and it's sure. And then at the end of a half hour of meditation, and then you go to bed because there's nothing else to do. There's no pagoda ball there to go. There are no TVs in your room. We're silent. The five scriptures, we'll call them, there is no speaking, of course, noble silence. There is no killing of any living thing. Tough stuff. They used to have tents and cabins, and I gotta say, it's not my thing if you don't want to kill anything, because I'm not big on bugs. And there's no killing, there's no sex. No reading, no writing, no music, no praying. You're there to do the Vipassana. And the point of Vipassana is it will end all craving, all aversion, and all ignorance. This really goes with what we teach in Unity. We use different words. And the term we use for that craving, aversion, is sankhara. Creating sankhara, which is what we know as creating resentments. And I was going to say, I don't know about you, but I do know about you. Because you were the same. You get a good bug in your head. Somebody has done something that you think is wrong. If only it were somebody instead of half the world who's doing something not my way. And I think about it. And the craving comes in the sensations that are coming up. And I crave more of those sensations, so I create more in my head of what they did and what they did wrong. And then, while I'm on them, I might as well find something wrong with myself. I might as well find some guilt. I might as well find some place of shame, regret, or sankhara, or craving and aversion. Now, the first time I did Vipassana, you can make an appointment with the assistant teacher. The main teacher is going up on video. With the assistant teacher, there's a male on the side, a female on the side. They sit on a box the whole week. And I think it's unbelievable the amount of hours and service they have to do to get to that level where they're allowed to do that. And they do not get paid. It's all volunteer. And they have. So I figured this out. Because if you're sitting on the floor all day, I now qualify for a chair. I haven't matured that much. Because I fell a couple of years ago. I just can't sit on the floor all the time. I couldn't do it now. But I discovered I had a sitting on a stool, a little floor stool, or pillows. I have a great craving for comfort. And I have a great aversion to discomfort. I know, it's crazy, isn't it? And it came to me, my ignorance is, if I could just get comfortable, I won't be uncomfortable. Well, where's my focus then? My focus is on the sensations in my body that lead to thoughts in my head, which create even more sensations in my body. So I thought, oh, I've got this down. I made an appointment to see the teacher at lunchtime, and it's a brief appointment. So I had to go and I kneeled down and I said, I think I understand this. And I explained what I just said to you. And I said, what do you think? And he said, I think you should keep doing Vipassana. And that was the end of my interview. He was not there for philosophy about Vipassana. We weren't there to chat about our, and to entertain ourselves, to create more of the sitcom, to create more of the crazy. I was there to be set free and learn a practice and how to do it. And that is what our unity teachings are for. They're not designed for entertainment. They're not designed to comfort us. They are designed for our wellness. Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, she sat down to pray every day, not to be healed from tuberculosis, but to know her God better. And it was through knowing her God better that she healed. If I'm trying to heal a specific thing, what I'm doing is focusing on what's wrong, not on the truth of my being. And the truth of my being, when I use the word truth, I'm not talking about my truth. Say, well, my truth is. That's a new buzzword. People have created. Truth means that which has no opposites. And I'm busy trying to, in my truth, what I'm really looking to do is convince you that I'm right about what's wrong in the world. Or how I think my opinion is superior to yours. And that's not the point there. You know, as a unity minister, I am not here to give you my understanding and hopefully hear it myself of why I fell here and why I stayed in unity. Unity is my favorite of all the new thoughts, movements, because it makes the most sense to me. And it's always pointing the way to healing and spiritual philosophy for positive living. But what's a positive way of living? It's in my acceptance of my unity with God and my unity with all beings. It's just, this morning we were up, they woke us up at 4, 4:30, we were on the floor in the meditation hall for the final event, which was a forgiveness event. And it goes on, and we get a chance for a while. And my mind, as I said, at this point, I'm thinking, I'll tell you in a second. My first night, I got buzzwords, and I'm divinely guided, thank goodness. But this morning, Blanca, I hear him say, and I pardon all those who have betrayed me, consciously or unconsciously. Rip my guts apart. Because I thought of a few people I'm still holding on to. A couple of people there. I don't want to pardon. I'm busy with my sankara, thank you. Cup of sankara for breakfast. Even them. And the reason for even them is so I can once again realize my unity with God and all beings. To discover there is no separation between God, myself, and all beings. We're all here dressed up in different clothes. I don't think one of the person here in gold football shirt today. We're all dressed up in different clothes, different personalities. But we're unified. We come from the same source, whatever that is. I can't accurately describe it. So to go back to the first night, I heard the voice that speaks inside of me in the silence. And thank goodness I heard it. It really rescued my mental state this time. It said, be here now. And I thought, first Wednesday night as we're going into the silence. Be here now. That got me through the first Wednesday night, Friday, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Monday. So almost 5 full days without going crazy, without the crazy mind. Finding, finally, something to distract me. That I had to take an action. But those first would be here now. Because I'm, you know, often in the past years, I'm thinking, well, you see, it's 10 days from now, I'm on that center. Maybe I can sneak my stuff to my car early so that I can get out of here as soon as it ends. Because you're not supposed to go to your car early, but I do. And by Monday morning, I decided, David, there must be something wrong with David. How do I find out? How do I find out what's wrong? Because what if there is, and he can't get through the emergency line, not allowed to have a cell phone. And so I don't check my cell phone, I'll leave it in the car. Well, finally, Tuesday morning, I went to the car. And I called him because it was the only way that I mentally could survive it and not really spiral. Because at that point, I was really spiraling. And I called him. I said, is everything okay? He said, yeah, I feel great. So I'll talk to you Sunday. It's all I needed. Because there had been a leak at the house beforehand. He's home with the cats. And he's, I know he's dead. I didn't know because in my head, I created a greater version. And the craving came in on creating more thoughts and more thoughts and more thoughts. And so I discovered so many of my thoughts are projecting chaos. So many of my thoughts all project, oh, this one's going to be mad at me, this one's going to be this, and this one's going to that, and it's going to be a big storm, and this is why I go away to this, to discover this thinking that sits in me. And the point of the Vipassana is to observe all the sensations in the body, head to toe, toe to head, and over again, to observe without naming them, without defining them. And it's something. So I thought of a term before I left. I mean, it's a famous book. Don't just do something, sit there. You know, and no, on Monday, Tuesday morning, I did something. I looked. Nobody else was looking, so I ran down the hill to the car. And what I discovered, because my room I'm in has a good view from the window, and I saw other people going down that road. I was not alone. And breaking some of the rules of the noble. And I went, oh, sensations. And so I can look and laugh finally at this and say, outrage, how dare they do that? Even though I'm more of the same thing. Breaking rules. Anybody see me? I'm not silent. It doesn't count. And once I was helping, I could go back and I could sit calmly. But oh, in my mind, something that happens during this time is everybody I've ever met comes to visit me. So I sit for those hours. Miss Karabi from third grade came to say hello. Lots of dead people, lots of dead friends, family members. Hey, Sean, how's it going? Came to chat, came to visit, sometimes for the sake of the whole hour. Some of those were wonderful. I've had amazing dreams over the years, some disturbing ones. This one I loved, it was my second time there. And I was taking a nap during that 12:01 to have the lunch. And I mean, in the dream, I got the best message. And what I was trying to do was stand and walk above the ground. You know, so just off the ground. And in the dream, I go one foot up, and I heard a voice say, don't doubt, or you won't be able to do it. And I put my other foot up, and I walked above the floor beside my bed, and I did that foot. And I thought, oh, I've got to go tell Jonah, who was my dead assistant, and I woke up. I was thrilled by that message. Don't doubt, or you won't be able to do it. Another time I was dreaming, and I had two incidents happen. One was I was in the subway, under the subway, walking along, and I saw, and it's not a pretty visual, this grizzled guy with a gnawing on the head of like a baby. And then I decided, look closer, and it was a plastic doll. I thought, that's not real. It's not real. And then within that same dream, there were these like dogs walking with me, and they had like masks, triangular masks, and big gray teeth that they were walking towards me. And I stopped and I looked and I said, you're not real. And the dog stopped and smiled and winked at me. It was wonderful seeing what I feared. Being told that's not real. There's a term I learned, how I just finally learned it this week instead of all the other times. I go about it 2 years. Anicca, which means it talks about the impermanence of everything. Everything passes. My Tuesday newsletter is going to be about this. Everything passes. And doesn't it? Anybody here weigh what they weighed at birth? You said your poor mother. Relationships change. The sky changes. The ground changes. Look how much this building has changed in the years we've been coming here. And there's a lot more changes due. You say inspect the elevator. Look at that elevator. Remember when I had hair? And it's neither good nor bad, but it's different. I weighed more before I left. And I never want to fat shame, because it's not about that. But as I say, it's nicer on the knees when I weigh less. It's less of a burden to carry around. It's not about aesthetics, it's about. I don't want to weigh because I'll feel better. This week, even on what I ate or what little I ate, I weigh less today. I can tell you that. I, with every thought, I have, see if you identify. Do you need to go take an action on it? Oh, you get an idea. I better do this. I'm one of those human doers. And especially if somebody criticizes, I've got to fix this. I'm thinking that David has a foundation sell her house. Oh my gosh, I better pack everything up this week. anything if I feel at all I'm displeasing and I see my own codependence in this, I better change this. Or have a battle with you about why you're wrong. But it's still doing something. Hurry up and do it. Hurry up and do something. I'm thirsty. I better take a drink. I'm uncomfortable. I better adjust. And you're supposed to be sitting like this. This year was the first year I made it one full hour without opening my eyes. Six times. First time I made it was the first night. That we went into Vipassana, I made it for 1 hour. I've never done that before, but I've done it since. There's a ton of metal. Beep, beep, beep. I hear a noise, I get distracted. Somebody walks in front of me, somebody comes in late. Oh, there are glasses on so I can see them. Don't just do something. Reason for it. God is in the silence. can be willing, or I can become willing, that the mind silence for a moment. So I met people who do things like this, and I marvel. They go to Tibet and study over there. They go here. I go to Massachusetts because it felt like the easy way. To me, unity is the easy way, even though it's hard if you become a full-time practitioner. Unity is a bear, if you really, but it's still the easy way. It's the simple way. And so to sometimes interrupt the process from a thought to your words. See, for 10 days, I didn't get to express my thoughts. I had to be with them and observe them, and observe where they sit in my body. Which cells are they finding to sit in? There is a other reason. Take no notice. Take great care that your actions do not disturb anyone. And take no notice of distractions caused by others. Keep one's mind inward, ignoring any inconveniences and distractions that one may encounter. We're guided to do that on the first night. Take no notice. And you think, well, everybody here is spiritual. Everybody here. You think that they'll all have good table manners. At least I would. You'd think that they'd have a clue they're with a whole lot of other people, but some are not. There was one guy, he's done it 12 times. He's about to go back for a 3-month stay. He's working towards it. He slurped his way through lunch. Every single day, breakfast and lunch, and he had to see the sign next to me. They had a big pagoda there. And we all had assigned these little cells. So, like little closets, basically. You sit in the dark and get quiet, no distractions. He snored his way. But the whole time, because he was in the one next to me. He was often late for the main meditations. And he was 2 seats away from me on that. And he would come down and twerk his cape. It's his blanket. But he works a cape with it, twirl it, and we're already starting to go in. I judged him for a few days. And then I heard, take no notice. Take no notice. And once I heard that wonderful voice, I began to love him. I was no longer sitting in judgment of him, but observing my own judgments, my own opinions, without criticism of myself for them, but to observe, oh, I distract myself. If the peace has been disturbed, I'm the one that disturbed it with my thinking. And so, the snoring thing, and then I asked for a different cell. They didn't give me one. And I thought, take no notice. Take no notice. No one is robbing me of anything except my own thinking. I gave myself this gift. I did everything I could to give thanks for it every day without getting down on my knees and praying. We're not supposed to do that. Yeah. I know my car against the rules, but I wasn't going to pray against the rules. That didn't occur to me just now. That's funny. That's really funny. I'm going to make a phone call. And guess what they ask me not to do? Pray? Are you going to wash me? No, I'm incorporating everything they want. Don't just do something. Sit there. Interrupt the thoughts. And observe. And find God in the silence. It's not that God is absent. God didn't disappear from us. Like in the Garden of Eden, when all of a sudden the two of them exist, and that's an allegory, it's not a history lesson. And it says, God went looking for them and they hid. Two people! God can't find them. It's not that they hid, they turned God off. So let's look at it in the hours coming up. What will be your retreat? What will be your course of interrupting any thoughts of hostility, of lack, of the absence of good, so that you can begin to recognize, oh my good is here. And I don't have to do anything to create it. My good has already been created. You can get quiet long enough to see it, to accept it into myself, into my very being. So David has written a second song that's very apropos to today and his message. Otherwise, why would he have written it? But I'm so grateful. I feel, well, I don't know how you feel. I feel wonderful having gotten to share this. Because I've been gone for a long time now, many days, many hours, lots of time on the floor, without being able to share anything. My first time doing it, after they break the silence officially on Saturday, so yesterday, the silence broke, but you still stay for the next day. That's, I couldn't swear it enough. That first time, that afternoon, I won't tell you the word I used, it was one main word. And I'm just like, you're going to die. They're looking at me like I'm insane. And they said, you think you're a minister? I just couldn't stop saying. I heard it. I was horrified. But what are you going to do? Be here now. Be here now and accept. And I laugh at it now. And because that's just the process. I didn't swear once. One other thing. Because it's all service, isn't it? The first time I went to do it, at the Wednesday night before you go to the silence, they serve a little meal. I met a man who had done it about 12, 13 times, the course. And he's very kind to me. And the whole time I was there, I decided, his name is Mike, might still be. And I decided Mike's on my side. And he's willing that I complete this. I can't go and talk to him because we're silent. We used to treat this like, this is not a unity retreat silence. You treat this like you live alone. No gazing happy books at each other's eyes over breakfast. There's no hand gesturing. There's silence. And I made it through knowing that Mike is willing that I complete this. Because every single day, I had to talk myself into staying. And I never went to my car for the years. But as I walked past the woods where my car was right behind my car keys, and I beep, beep. Just to hear, I press the button, just enough. My car's there. I can go anytime I want. I'm a big boy. I can go. Because if it hurts too much. So ever since then, at the first time, I found you guys. For the dinner. And I talk to them and I tell them my name and I say, look, what I realize, what I want you to know is if I can do this, so can you. Because believe me, I'm nobody special. I can do it, so can you. And think of me, if it gets too hard, just know Sean's on my side. And that Sean is willing that I complete this. I said, I will leave with my head gazes in the hallway. They will no pats on the back. I will not look at you and smile every once. But now I know you're here. And now that I'm here, and we're both going to complete this. And over the years, people have come to me afterward. God, last time somebody said, Sean, did you want to be on Thursday? And smile. And I said, not that I'm aware of it. He said, I swore you were. I was about to leave. And then I saw you in the doorway. And I would have sworn you looked at me. And I said, maybe, but I'm not aware, but I'm glad you stayed. And yesterday, or Saturday when they came out, a guy said to me, if Sean can do this, so can I. And I'm here. And that, I didn't have to do anything but say, I'm on your side. I just sat there. And I was on their side. And I sat there, and I was on my side. Every meditation ends with sadhu, 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 which means may all beings be happy. I'm willing, I thought about it. I'm willing, I think I'm willing that all beings, I'm willing that they all be happy, even if I'm not quite going to get my part of them. I'm still willing that they be happy. And I don't have to do anything but reflect between my willingness and my unwillingness and where it sits. Thank you, everybody. Let's listen to David. When you're put upon and stressed and not feeling at your best, you're confused about it. It's true. It's the time you should know that it was just the girl. It's guaranteed time. Yeah, I do, because some of this cut out. I don't want to miss any of these words. Yeah, there, David, take mine. Oh, it works fine now. One, two. As I was saying, when you're put upon and stressed and not feeling at your best, you're confused about what's false and what is true. That's the time that you should know. It was just one way to go. This guarantee to always see through. Don't just do something, sit there. That's something we rarely do. Don't just do something, sit there. The answers will come to you. When you're lonely and depressed, just remember that you're blessed with a place where you are always safe and sound. So before you medicate, take some time to meditate, and whatever has been lost will soon be found. Don't just do something, sit there, forget about fight or flight. Don't just do something, sit there, and your troubles will be set right. There's a quiet place inside, where the truth will often hide, always waiting in the silence to be found. Shut your mouth. Shut your eyes, and you'll find you were surprised that your thoughts will have the chance to come. Don't just do something, sit there, but sometimes this might be the part. Don't just do something, sit there, just sit there, and 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 sit there till you find. So whether you are troubled or feeling great, sitting still is something you should always contemplate. As the Bible tells us, God helps those who stand and wait. So go with them and commit there. Don't pursue something. Don't uproot something. Don't think through something. Don't poo poo something. Don't you poo something. Don't undo something. Don't poo poo something. Don't poo poo something. Don't shampoo something. Don't unscrew something. Thank you.